and welcome to The Extra Edge, a sports analytics podcast powered by Connexon Sports. Please like and subscribe on any and all of the platforms you prefer to listen to your podcast. I'm Dave Gringinski, and today we're talking with Rick Van Vos, who is the strength and conditioning coach for Heroes Den Bosch, a Dutch professional basketball club based in the Netherlands and playing in the B-Next League. Coach, first of all, let me thank you for joining us here on The Extra Edge.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
Well, Coach, you've been there since 2019, and you're a very interesting guest to have because you get to see performance and the injury side of things. And so we're going to get into that a little bit. But since you've been there, you've won the Dutch National Championship, the Dutch Super Cup, and this year's Dutch Cup, which Heroes has now won 8 times. And on top of that, you've got 17 national championships over there. And this is where I start to wonder, how much did the data play a role in all of this success? And so on this podcast, we talk about data, insights, and actions. And so let's talk about the data first, Coach. When did you start using data and why?
We started it, I would say, over a year ago. So actually, we had a trial with Kinexon first. I think it was the last 3 months or so of last season. And I heard from Kinexon from my colleagues of the who work with the national team. And they've been working with Kinexon for a while, and they really liked it. And so I've been talking to the people there, and they say that the data really helps them. And so this is how I first got to know Kinexon. And then we just reached out, and we just had Kinexon. We had it for a while, I would say like 2 or 3 months or so. And then in the summer, we as an organization made the decision to really get to work with Kinexon. So now it's our first full year, and it's been good. It's in the beginning it was quite a lot of like learning how to interpret the data and everything. But we have good help, and I feel like right now we're at a point where we know what we want from data, and it really helps us in our planning and also in the return to play. But we're going to talk to that about that in a bit. But both sides, it's helping us for sure.
Now, how about you personally? When were you exposed to data? Was it as a player? Were you coaching when all of this talk about performance metrics and this whole new side of sports kind of came to light?
I guess I was working in field hockey before I started working with a basketball team. And in the Netherlands, field hockey is pretty big. And I was working with a team, and they did a lot with heart rate. And they had a guy sitting on the sideline, always seeing all the heart rate data. But at the time, that is, I think, like 8-9 years ago, like it wasn't that good, actually. So there was a lot of times where the heart rate didn't really wasn't really working, or there were some issues there. But that was the first time I would really see it, and would really see a team work with it, and see coaches trying to get it to work and everything. But I think when I was doing my master's, and there was a lot of guest speakers from all different sorts of clubs, and they told me about how they use their data at big organizations like Ajax, the football club, Feyenoord football club. That's probably the first time I really saw it, and I was really intrigued and really thought like, hey, this is actually pretty cool and can really help us.
Well, the other thing too, Heroes is winning. You guys are winning championships. You're winning league titles. You're doing everything right. But then, you've only been using basketball data with us for a year. How did that conversation go from the time you were there in 2019? I know there's a lot of pride with this organization. Is it just that desire to just keep on winning and looking for that extra edge? Is that where the conversation started with Heroes?
Yeah, for sure. Keep on winning. That's obviously priority number one. But I feel like our organization is also one that wants to, I guess I would say, lead a little bit, or wants to have like, hey, we have the feeling that it's going this direction and we're going to be the first one to go there, or that I feel like that's also helping. But actually, like the main thing is just a coach. We have a coach who's really into it, who really wants to work with the data. So if coach says to the organization, "Hey, we got to do this," then that's, you know, then it's easier for me to get it. So I would say pride in the organization, but for sure also a coach that really wants it.
Yeah, pioneers. We like to hear that because that's what we need. And so you're using an IMU system, correct? And can you talk a little bit about that and what types of metrics you're looking at?
Yeah, sure. We got the IMU because for us the most important thing. Now, actually, let me rephrase it. I think we got the way we work with it is we collect the data from every practice in the game, of course. And what we do is we can track live data, but actually it's not that convenient in our situation with me not being there every practice. So what we oftentimes do is we put the tags in just pre-practice. Usually it's one of the rookies who brings the tray with the tags to the practice court. Then the guys get it and they put it in the shorts. We got the pockets. We don't got the things here, but we got the pockets and I really like that. Then they put them in there, they practice. After practice, one of the assistant coaches, while the guys are stretching, gets all the tags in, connects it to the laptop, and then then I can log in either from home or at the laptop at the office and just get the data. And then of course there are so many metrics we can have a look at, but we decided coach and I, to really have a look at the accumulated acceleration load. So sort of like a number that puts all the stuff together. And we know that it's not perfect, but we know that that's a number that gives us a good idea of how intense the practice was. And I would say that number is the first number that I'll tell coach, like, hey, it was this high. And then we know, like, hey, that was what we're aiming for, or ooh, that was a little bit high. And then we know what we need to do the day after to make sure that the week of the load is as perfect as we want it.
Well, and one of the advantages of the IMU is you could take it wherever you need to go. You can take it on the road, right? You can set it up, for any game or practice. So did it take a little bit of time to kind of settle on when it comes to AAL? Did it to kind of settle on your number when you started comparing games to practices?
Actually, it was the collecting, it was pretty easy, but it was more like finding out. So we have a good idea of how intense a game is. So we played Champions League qualification. We know how intense that is. We played FIBA Europe Cup. We know how intense that is. We also played against some better opponents or maybe a little bit less opponents. So we have a broad idea about what the data does and how intense a game is. And the funny thing is when we started looking at the practices and really divided in phases to really see like how much is a warm-up, how much is a rebounding drill, how much is a shooting drill. And then we got in really when we make the deep dive into the data, we saw that sometimes a rebounding drill is not as high as we would anticipate because the accumulated acceleration load can't measure like how hard you're pushing and shoving. So there's some things that you really need to consider, but usually you can just like that number is very good at just saying how intense it was. So if I not ask the guys how intense it was and I just look at the data, I exactly know like this is coach was rough on him today. I can just say that.
How did the players did they accept this right away? Do they know? I mean, okay, everybody's doing data. Did they just accept it, or did you have to convince them a little bit to do it?
Yeah, it's some of the guys already knew it from the Dutch national team. And they were very happy because over there they used to wear it like in the sport bra type of, so they were very happy that we had the pockets. So I would say half of the guys probably already was familiar with collecting data. The other half wasn't or was not to this level. And so in the preseason, I gave a presentation. I always do that where I tell some stuff what we do and about the organization and about the strength conditioning and all of that. And then I told the guys like, hey, and collecting data is also to help you guys. So I can tell coach like, hey, don't go too hard, or today should be a little bit of a low day or whatever. And you see the guys looking at me like, yeah. We'll see about that. So then we started collecting the data. And then I would say probably second week of preseason. And this is where coach also really helped me. He said to the guys like, hey, we've seen the data. We know that we need to take it easy on you guys today. So, you know, today we're not going to do too much. And that moments like that really help. So the players, I feel like after 2 weeks, they were just bought in. They actually, you know, in my little office where I do, where I got the setup, you know, the guys can walk in and they have a look, and sometimes they see like, I had 750 and this guy only had 600. And so there's a little bit of a competition there every now and then, which is pretty fun. And in the beginning, it was a little bit of getting used to with putting the tags in and getting them out and not letting them get in the washing machine and everything. But that was probably 2 or 3 weeks. Now it's just routine.
Get that system down. So when you're looking at the metrics, you mentioned AAL. Are there any others that stand out to you that you really like? We on this podcast, we talk about the metrics trifecta. Like, do you have a top three? Like, you mentioned AAL. Are there, you know, do you have one or two others that really matter to you?
Yeah, I would say it also depends. So just on the performance side, so not the physio side of things. I have to say I like distance also to get an idea about how intense it was. I'm a big fan of the change of direction. I like to see that. So the mechanical load side of things and then the change of direction. But one that really stands out to me is also the top speed. I don't know why. I just like top speed. I know that, I know it's not the first thing coaches look into, but I like top speed. Sometimes I just know we're doing a drill with a lot of up and down, and I just like to see. And sometimes we get a difference of a guy running like 31 kilometers per hour and some other guy had like top speed, like 22, something like that. So then I'm like, what's up there? Why is this guy running and this guy not running? And so sometimes top speed is also a nice value just to have a look at.
Well, I'm sure the guys like to look at it too. You know, I mean, we've talked to some American football coaches who, you know, here they've had guys clocked at 24 miles per hour, which is super, super fast, you know, for running. And so obviously then, you know, it creates that competition, which again is, I mean, it's a healthy competition. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. I have to say, we have in our team, we have quite a couple of athletes who can really jump and really, you know, if they jump, they hit the rim with their heads if they want. We also have a couple of guys who are not really jumpers. So comparing them and then they say like, hey, this guy was jumping like this high and I'm never jumping higher than this. And so it can be in a way maybe confronting, like they can really see like, hey, wow, this guy is really a lot faster and jumps a lot higher. But I feel like, you know, for us, if you see that, you know, then I just tell them like, hey, we just have a conversation about it. And for us with the players we work with, most of them are experienced guys. They actually laugh about it like, hey, today, again, not too much in the red zone while this guy is a lot in the red zone. And it's just a funny thing where it can help, I believe, in motivating the guys. And that's a bit of healthy competition, which you always have in the locker room, which is good.
Yeah, that's good to hear. And we'll start getting into some of the insights. But one of the things I wanted to ask you about is the crazy schedule that you guys have, because you're bouncing between league games and then you've got cup games. And can you explain a little bit about that and then how you use the data? Do you approach, you use the data kind of the same across the board for all of these different competitions, or do you change things? So give me a little bit of background first on everything, you know, all the games you're playing, and then we'll talk a little bit about the data that you're using.
Yeah, so we play in the league together with the Belgium league. And that means that the way the league is set up is first we play a domestic round where we just play the other Dutch teams. And then we go cross-border. So now we're playing the Belgium teams, home and away. And then after that, we have the playoffs. And in between the league, we have the European competition. And for us, that started this year with a qualification tournament for the Champions League, which we didn't win. So we played in the FIBA Europe Cup. So that means that we had, especially October, November, December, we played on the Wednesdays, we played FIBA Europe Cup. And then in the weekend, we played the domestic round. And so that means quite a lot of travel and for sure, two games a week. It was actually only two games a week. A couple of years ago, we also had three sometimes, but this year it was just two a week. There's quite a big difference between the FIBA Europe Cup game and some of the domestic games. So our approach sometimes was a bit different. We knew like the highest moment of the week and the most intense moment of the week is going to be the Wednesday. The Saturday league game is going to be a little bit less, and we, you know, we're in pretty good shape to win that game. So we needed to look at the week like, hey, we want to peak on the Wednesday. We also want to get our reps in because we're still pretty early in the season. So we developed this week periodization, or actually the minus one, minus two, minus three. And then in all these days, we know like how intense we can practice, but still be relatively like sharp and rested for the games. So if we would have like a FIBA Europe Cup game and we would fly the day before, we would arrive, we knew like, hey, we want to practice, but we don't want to go over this number to really make sure that we, you know, our legs are still fresh tomorrow. And we had moments in the year where we knew that we were playing a little bit of a lower level team on the Saturday or Sunday. And we knew like, hey, we still need to have a good practice. So sometimes in a game like that, we would go a little bit higher. Of course, not crazy, but still a little bit higher. So we knew that we have a good practice stimulus. And we know it. We knew it could cause a little bit of fatigue in the day after, but we accepted that. Like, okay, that's okay, because we know after this game we need to give the guys a day of rest, and then, you know, we're already gonna fly back to or whatever. So that's been it's been a puzzle, but that's also what makes it a lot of fun, I guess. Because if sometimes we would have a week where we just have one game a week, and the guys, you know, we're gonna play on Sunday. The guys are gonna say on Wednesday, like, it's only Wednesday, like so many practices. So I actually like the two a week, and I know that most of the guys do it as well.
Well, one of the things too that, you know, speaking to other coaches, because it's just different, you know, the European game and the games and the setup and, you know, and the way you guys play. But you have to think about, one of the coaches told me that, you know, you have to think about your players who are underloaded, right? Guys who maybe aren't playing, or you have a week like that where, you know, there's only one game and the guys probably think they're going to have it easy that week. But it's maintaining that level of intensity for the entire week. And is that where you look at the data and say, okay, this is where we need to be, because this is where we're going to be on Saturday or Sunday, or, you know, or when our next game comes along?
Yeah, for sure. So this is where, so if we, with our normal roster, we're with 12 guys, but are actually 13 now, but this year we did not really have a normal year. We had quite a lot of injuries. So normally we would have a couple of young guys who were not really practicing a lot and not really playing a lot. So, you know, we were already thinking about, hey, those low minute guys, we need to give them an extra stimulus. So we try to do all of that with we got a second team playing at a lower level. And so there were all sorts of ways to set that up and really make sure that these guys also get their reps in. But actually with the injuries, they just been practicing a lot, because, you know, there were a lot of moments where we were with 10 guys, we were just with 11 guys. So we knew we just needed those, low minute guys as well. And then in the weekends, it's just a matter of seeing, like, making sure that these two guys also get their reps in within games. So they played in the second team, or sometimes they played in the first team as well. But it's really if you have a bigger roster and you really have like your go-to guys, you really got to make sure that the low minute guys also get their reps in, because, you know, with a season we're going to have like a 60, sometimes 70 game season, there's going to be injuries. So, you know, that if somebody gets hurt, these guys got to step up and they got to be ready.
Well, and, you know, the data provides that threshold, so you know where everybody needs to be, you know, at any given point, you know, throughout the season or throughout the week. And you mentioned the injuries. And so this is what's so interesting about you, because you're the strength and conditioning coach on one side, but then you're also the physio guy dealing with the injuries and rehab and return to play, getting guys back on the court. And I know you work with just, you know, general population, typical patients and things like that. So I'm really curious to find out are you able to use the data in the return to play protocols?
Yeah, that's a good one right there, because I feel like it's one of the major things to, that the data can contribute in. If you, then that goes for anybody who has an injury. There's always a point like, hey, when do we start running again? When do we start touching the basketball again? When are we going to do this? When are we going to do that? And I feel like it's a bit of a feeling a physio must have. It's a bit like, hey, I've seen this, so you must be ready to do this. But it's sort of like the art of the physio, maybe a little bit there. But I feel like the data just gives you way more objectified like measurements, like, hey, this guy is really ready because he showed that he can do this, and this. So I can tell you how the approach is when we had an injury. So for example, we had a guy, he had a knee injury and he was out for quite a while. And when he came back, I knew his data from before his injury. So I knew like, hey, if he's coming back, he needs to be able to play 22 minutes. He needs to do X amount of distance, change of direction, jumps. And I just made a list. And then during the rehab, you know, once we were able to start some running, immediately I wanted to get him to really get in, run a couple of kilometers. So, okay, we want him to build that up. Then, okay, we're into change of direction. Okay, I need him to do X amount of changes of direction, first of all, in like a 90-degree angle. And after that, we changed it more to agility, so reacting to a stimulus and change of direction. But I would just really have this list with me, like, hey, this is what he needs to do come game day. So we really need to prepare him for it. And then I also knew, like, hey, if we want him back with the team, then we know, like, if he's doing the non-contact part with the team, which is usually the first step if you come back, we knew, like, that's X amount of this, and this metric. So first of all, he needs to do that with me a couple of times. Knee should not react. Knee should feel fine. If that's the case, okay, you're back with the team, partly with the team. Then once the guys are going to have contact, you're back with me and we're going to do some other stuff. And so in this, the data really helped me to really make sure that I was not skipping steps and really making sure that we checked all the boxes before he was back with the guys.
So having that data and then those insights that it's providing, it's I guess it kind of makes everybody feel a little more comfortable, right? When somebody is sent back out there to play.
Yeah, and that is where it's unfortunate, but I have quite a lot of injury stories this year, but this is the theme of this year, I guess. But we had another guy with an injury, and he's the quickest guy on our team. And I knew that because I'm a top speed guy. I like that. No, and I was rehabbing him, and he had a soft tissue injury, so we knew like, hey, like the max speed and the sprinting is gonna be important here. And I knew his numbers, and I just said to him one day we were doing stuff on the court, and I just felt like, okay, I knew from the other days like how fast we went. I said, okay, today I don't want you to hold back, and I just want you to go baseline to baseline or just before baseline. And he went, and I said, like, was that all you got? Was that as fast as you can? He said, yeah, maybe it was like 95%, but it felt like pretty good. So after the practice, I downloaded the data and I said, hey, come here, have a look. What's your quickest sprint ever? It was way quicker than he was before and everything. And he said, yeah, I feel strong. I feel powerful. So so that was a pretty cool moment. So that when I saw that, I said to him, like, hey, you know, you're good. You know, we got to take the next step now. This is really... It's really, you know, the body is just ready now.
So what do you think was the difference leading up to that? Was it everything you were doing ahead of that before you put them, you know, kind of through that final test? Was it checking the data every day and just adding things, you know, in that return to play and just keep working towards it? Was that the difference?
I guess it helped. I guess it helped. So it would normally, if you don't have the data, you make the same steps in the rehab process. But now it's just, you know, you really got the numbers. So you're just more sure to do it. So every time we were ready, I downloaded the data and I looked at it. And I was happy. Sometimes I was like, in my feeling, we were going a little bit quicker. So I knew like, hey, I need to find a little bit more speed next time. So change the drill, change it a little bit. And no, but for sure, data helps with, especially with the feedback. So sometimes you just see a guy and you know, like, hey, this guy's quick and this is a high jumper and all of that. But then just having the data and really seeing, like, hey, he can jump this high and now he's jumping this high. Sometimes that's something you cannot see with the naked eye. So you really need the data to help you with that.
Are you seeing a difference now? And this is just me thinking crazy here, but you know, like back when I was playing, and you know, it was you sprained your ankle, it was going to be 4 to 6 weeks. That was that. Do you see a shift in that, maybe, where, okay, everybody's different, everybody's an individual, you have your return to play protocol, okay, here he has a sprained ankle, she has a sprained ankle, but you know what, the timetable may be different for both of them based on what we can put together here. Is that where are we starting to lean that way with now that we have data behind some of these decisions?
Yeah, I feel like it can. So there is, of course, it depends on what type of injury you have, but there's always just tissue repair, and that just takes time. So there's you always got the sort of like window where you can work in. And but I feel like, you know, sometimes you can just go a little bit quicker through the steps because you really have like numbers that, hey, he's doing this well, he's doing this well. But also, I think you should never just lead you. The data is an important factor, but there's, of course, a lot more. And I feel from my experience with working with professional athletes, compare that to like regular patients, they're just different bodies. You know, they just heal quick. They just know what to do with their body, and you know, and that's their job. So that's sprained ankle. That gets attention 24/7. Then I just give them a program. They do it. We go on the court together, and then if we see the data, if I see the way he moves, you know, I don't see anything weird. The guy is saying, "Hey, my ankle's pretty fine." Then, okay, let's skip a step. Let's go, and then you can speed up the process for sure.
Were those, I always like to ask about aha moments, and those are some great aha moments, especially, you know, when he sprints and he says, I think I was like 95%. You're like, actually, it was the fastest you've ever run. Like, are there any other, you know, was there an aha moment even before that where you know, it was data-based where you looked at it? Cause that's a great example of data, just, you know, kind of having your back, right, as a coach. It's never going to replace you because, you know, you have to have those conversations with the athlete, you know, but are there any other moments like that you can think of? Or is that, because to me, that's a great one, but, you know, are there those moments, or do they just happen like on a regular basis?
This was for sure one of those moments. Yeah, that was, and I think the best one, but I would say, when I was working with an injured guy for the first time, really using the data, it was also a moment for me where I felt like I just knew, like what I just said, like I got the list. The first time I got that sort of list, to me, it was more like, hey, this right now, it feels like I know what I need to make sure that this guy can do again. So I would say in a way that was an aha moment as well, because I had it written down, and of course it's just the change of direction, just the jumps, and basketball is a lot more, and there's contact and all of that. But just knowing, like, hey, I got a hard like list here where I know, like, hey, I need to check these off. That was for sure one of those moments. And I was doing some change of direction work with a guy who had an ankle sprain, and I was letting him make cuts in 90 degrees and then a little bit more and a little bit more intense and left, right. And I just felt so confident that I was doing the right thing because I knew, like, hey, we need to build him up towards, you know, him being able to do this. And then, of course, there's like the physio, other stuff you do with them. But that was a pretty cool moment to realize that.
That's awesome. You know, and now it's, you know, everything kind of blends in. And, you know, I know we always say we talk data, insights, actions, but everything, you know, does kind of meld together. But I wanted to ask you about some of the things that you may have changed over the years. I saw a great quote from you where you say you think it's important to find the right solution together with the patient or the player. And so we're hearing a lot of that. And so, you know, when it comes to the action part of it, whether it's, you know, in the weight room or out on the court, like, are there things you have kind of changed and shifted as far as like exercises or drills, you know, since you started using the data?
Yes. Yeah. Since I started using the data, it's complicated because it's only a year, but I would have to say I feel like last couple of years, there's a lot of things that I changed. Like in the beginning, I came into the team and I figured like, hey, I'm going to make sure that these guys are going to jump higher. I'm going to make sure that these guys are going to get stronger. And then, you know, you see the schedule, you're like, there's only like X amount of stress we can give to the body, like, and before it's going to hurt. And so it changed a lot more to first, I needed to get them bigger, faster, stronger, to I just need them available for coach. So let's just make sure that we're trying to get them through the season and not lose too many kilos of muscles. So there's been some changes like that for sure. I also feel like working with professional athletes, like especially the like late 20, early 30 year old guys I work with, like who am I to think that I know their body? Like I just met them. So for me to work with them, and if they tell me like, hey, I like to do exercises like this, then I'm just going to say, okay, let's go. Let's go. And then if I see something, either from the data that I collect or just from like my experience, I'm going to say, hey, maybe we need to mix in a little bit of this. And I feel like the guys, they respect that, they like it. And, you know, if I give them a little bit like, hey, you want to do this? Okay. And then I say, let's do a little bit of this. Then we always come to these combinations where we both like it. So, and that's definitely a change too. In the beginning, you're like, hey, we need to do this. I need to do this, this, this. And then the guys are going to get a lot better. It's way more complicated than that. So that was for me a huge thing to learn. And I'm happy that I sort of found that now.
Hey, so I'm wondering, is anybody jumping higher? Is anybody, have you gotten some inches? Anybody dunking that wasn't dunking before?
I got the data now. So I'm yeah, for sure. No. It's tough with a schedule we have. I feel like that the metrics of both jumping higher, faster, let's just make sure that we win the league, and we do that with as much healthy guys as possible. And then I'm very, very happy.
Well, that's what I keep, you know, I mean, this is a tool. This is never going to replace coaching and that human aspect and that personal aspect, that coach player relationship. And it really sounds like you've kind of mastered that, using this as a tool, and you have it in your toolbox and you use it to, you know, just to kind of help guide decision making, both you and coach.
Yeah, but I for sure haven't mastered it, but I try, and I think it's as you said, it's a tool, and it's an important tool, and it really helps us. And it really, I think, you know, the way what I said earlier, like the way we look at a week now, like today we need to do this, we need to do that, that alone helped us so much that we just got a good understanding of how much we can ask during a week, that we still get the guys in a good shape to win a game. But also, you know, coach just wants reps. Coach wants the guys on the court, wants to train intense, and wants to. So I feel like we sort of like found that sweet spot now there, and I think that really helped us. And that's I think the most important thing for us right now.
That's awesome. Now, I know it's only been a year, but I'm curious. Are there ever days where you're going, boy, I wish I had that? Is there anything that's still missing? If the answer is no, you haven't found anything yet, I mean, that's great. But I always like to ask this question because I'm always curious if there's anything that you're coming across that you're like, boy, oh boy, we're just missing that one little thing, whether it's from the data or, you know, the system itself, whatever. Is there anything missing?
You know, the thing that is missing, and that's more the problem I have now, especially this year, is I wish I had more time, because I feel like there's so much data. So I feel like it just takes more time to really use everything the system has. So maybe just like there are some steps that if they would be quicker, or if they would be, then it maybe could help. But It's also, I think, a process. It's only been a year now, so I feel like I'm pretty used to the way everything works, and I know what I'm looking for. But just having the time to really make deep dives, really get into the data, and I feel like this summer is going to be huge in that. Coach and I already talked about, you know, certain moments in the season where we really want to have a deeper dive into, like, hey, what did we do there? Why did we do it there? How can we change it next year? Yeah, time, it's always time, but I feel like the system itself has a lot. And I would say I talk to Michi quite a lot, one of your colleagues.
Yeah.
And if I don't understand anything, he'll help me. And usually if he shows it, it's pretty easy.
Well, that's the beauty. I mean, because we have guys that really know what they're what they're doing, and they, and you're never alone. You always have somebody to lean on, and so that's awesome to hear. And you know, like, this has been so insightful. And I'm just, you know, before we cut you loose, I'm just curious: is there anything else you wanted to, something that I didn't ask about, or anything else you want to throw in for us that maybe we didn't talk about? Because man, this has been so great, and it's so interesting because, you know, not only are you trying to help performance, but you're also, you have the return to play, and to have both sides of that insight was phenomenal. Is there anything else that I missed?
I'm actually thinking about your last question again, like what do I want to see? And I'm thinking, and I know that this is impossible, but you know, the way our season is going this year, but also I see it in all the leagues, like there's so many guys injured. And I feel like if there would be a way to like more like predict injuries, and I know that this is something that we've been, we as everybody who works in sports, but also all scientists, all sports scientists, like how can we predict injury? How can we prevent it? Like, I would really like it if data would be like better in sort of like recognizing when a guy is going to get injured. And I know this, I'm probably asking way too much, but it's, you know, I just hate to see so many good players not able to play, and not just on our team this year, but also in every league that you watch, there's always guys injured. And I feel like it's only getting more and more. I would say if Kinexon would just crack that code, then I would be very happy, man.
Well, we're working on it, I promise you. But you know, we are seeing advancements in that player availability going up for teams and different. But it just takes a little bit of time, kind of like what you were talking about, that sweet spot. You know, after, you know, you get a year or two and you start adjusting things, and that's when I think, you know, coaches start seeing some success. Rick, this has been great. Now, I'm just curious, like if you don't mind, if there's somebody who hears this and wants to maybe reach out to you to find out how you're doing the data, what's an easy way for somebody to get a hold of you?
I'm not really a social media guy anymore. So that's a bit more complicated. I haven't been logged in all my social media for a couple of months now. So I would say maybe LinkedIn. Because okay, if somebody sends me a message through LinkedIn, I get an email. So then I know, like, hey, somebody wants to talk to me. And I have to say, I would like it. I would like to. I'm really somebody who likes to talk to other coaches. And so if there's anybody who does, who wants to talk about this stuff, then please reach out, because I like that stuff.
That is awesome. Rick, I can't thank you enough for coming on today and sharing your insights. And we need to revisit you in like a year or so, maybe even 6 months, to find out how things are going. I'd be very curious to find like how you adjust things, you know, especially, you know, in the return to play side too. It sounds like, man, it sounds like you're doing some really good things on the return to play side, man. It's awesome.
Thanks. Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's unfortunate that it's necessary, because we would love to not do it, but the return to play is, it's pretty cool. And it's cool to see the guys come back and have an impact on the game and help us win games. That's pretty cool.
Well, I appreciate it, Rick. And for you, I call that job security, man. That's what that is. Hey, thanks a lot, Rick. I appreciate it, man.
Thanks. You're welcome.
All right. Hey, if you know a great coach like Rick, who's doing great things, winning games and doing it with sports data and analytics, we'd love to hear about him. We'd also like to make him a future guest on the podcast. You can reach out to us on Twitter and Instagram at Kinexon Sports, or look for us on LinkedIn as well. When you're looking for Rick, look for us at Kinexon Sports and Media. Remember, we want you to innovate the game by collecting data, getting those insights, and turning those insights into action. We will see you next time.